Let me bring in our hypnotist, Marshall Silver.
It's Marshall Silver, ladies and gentlemen, the world's fastest hypnotist.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Marshall Silver Live. It's me, Marshall Silver. And you can call me the poster boy for the First Amendment. You hear me say it a lot on this show, communication equals wealth. And the better you communicate first internally, those 1,500 words per minute going through your mind, telling you who you are and who you aren't, what you can be, what you can do, what you can have, the more you control that, the more effectively you control what comes out of your mouth. Communication to yourself is programming. Communication to the outside world is influence. And we always get back what we send out. And your life is a reflection of what is coming out of your mouth, guaranteed. That's the reason right now that First Amendment rights are so under attack. They're taking a look at all sorts of ways to imprison people for memes on the internet, funny pictures. Do you understand how ludicrous that is? They being deep state, said it out loud, want you to believe that there is a right thing and a wrong thing to communicate, and it's determined by them. That's where we are right now. So your First Amendment rights are your First Amendment rights for a reason. The founding fathers knew that if people were handcuffed or restricted in communicating in any way, if they were stopped from actually speaking their individual truths, then the government would control everything. If the government can control communication, it can control everything. So now we've pushed further and further. Oh, that's distasteful, or that's hate speech, or that's, I get it all, except it's a very, very, very fine wire between hate speech and absolute constriction on what you're allowed to first say and then ultimately think. Bear in mind, it hits me especially hard because I make a living opening my mouth. I open my mouth and people throw money at me. We've got a phenomenal guest with us today. We're going to get to this gentleman in a moment. Very excited to have him with us. He's going to assist you in helping you make that mind-body connection. So not only are you in complete and total control of your thoughts, you're also in complete and total control of your body. As a performer, I never in my entire career had to worry about offending people. In fact, my response was always the same. Hey, if there's anything I've said or done during my presentation, my show, my broadcast, if there's anything that I've said or done that has offended you in any way, I really want to say from the depths of my heart, tough crap, man. Snowflake, get over it. My God, how soft are you? And that's how I feel. And now they're threatening to throw people with a voice like me in jail for having a voice. Can't let that happen. I remember a time when people laughed at jokes. I remember a time when people had a sense of humor. And humor is a phenomenal way to carry a sensitive message. And in fact, if it's not a sensitive message, generally speaking, it's not very funny. I love humor. We tell a lot of jokes in my household. My son told me a joke the other day. My son, who produces this show, he says, what has four letters, never has six, and sometimes has nine? It's a riddle, not really a joke, so I'll read it again. What has four letters, never has six, and sometimes has nine? No, forgive me. Oh, I can tell my son's squirming right now. I told it wrong. What has four letters, never has five, and sometimes has nine? Never has five, yes. The answer is yes. That's the answer to the riddle. What has four letters? Yes, it does. Never has five. Yes, it does. Sometimes has nine. Delivery, too. They teach you in comedy school, delivery is everything. So one more joke, and I'm going to share this joke with you. A buddy of mine texted me the joke. I thought it was funny. I read it to Erica, and Erica said, I don't get it. Here's the joke. Now, before you judge me, I don't care. Call me misogynist. Call me sexist. Call me a jerk. I don't care, but call me, baby. So here's the joke. What gets easier to pick up, the heavier it becomes. Now, consider the context and the source. My guy buddy sent this joke to me. The joke punchline is a woman. I thought it was funny. Call me whatever you want to call me. It's a joke. It's supposed to make you laugh. It made me laugh. But I told the joke to Erica, and she said, that doesn't make sense. Scientifically, how could that be if she gets heavier? Well, do you get stronger trying to pick her up? Is that what it is? And we had like a 15-minute discussion, and I finally just shook my head. And I went, you know what? It's a bad joke. It's just not funny. And she told me this morning, she said, you know, I didn't think it was funny because it doesn't matter what size a woman is. She's easier to pick up she wants to be easier to pick up. Hard to argue. It's a fact. It's true. We went to a restaurant last night called Matsui. We couldn't find the place initially. It was in the middle of a neighborhood, basically, in a suburb of a city near us. And so we went out to dinner. And before we went, I was looking at the menu, and it was a prefix menu. It was a tasting, 10-course tasting menu. And it was pricey, even by my standards. It was $175 per person. We don't drink alcohol anymore. Erica never has. I don't. And so let's just do a la carte. Let's go sample it. If we like it, we'll come back and do the full 10 courses. So we got there. We had a hard time finding it. It was in this building that was basically covered in the same kind of artwork that my background is, kind of graffiti art. So with a restaurant being that expensive, you know, my thought was it's got to be a nice place. I thought, okay, maybe it's, you know, kind of hiding and I'll give it a chance. So we walked through the front door and there was a dictionary on the bar and it was open up to the M's and underlined in there and highlighted was minimalistic. It was minimalistic. It was very sparse. The walls were painted, barely anything on the walls. Nothing fancy in the way of the table. It was just minimalistic. And it got me really realizing something. And that is a real simple, it was so minimalistic and so expensive. I basically thought this restaurant owner, this chef, whoever is in charge here, is basically saying, F you. If you want to judge the environment, if you want to judge my interior design, F you. My food is so good, you're not going to care. And when I was sitting there before the first course came along, I thought, that's awesome. Because confidence is always sexy. I thought, how awesome is it that this restaurateur didn't waste money on all the other elements of putting together a really amazing experience? They said, no, I'm going to create a very bare stage. And I'm going to put the food on stage in the spotlight. I know what you're thinking. How was the food? It was pretty good. Yeah, it was quite good. I'll go back. It definitely is a special occasion restaurant. It's pricey. And again, I'm rich, and I still thought it was pricey for what you get. And each of the courses is basically $15 to $20. And a course is like one bite, maybe two bites if you nibble. So it wasn't cheap. It was pricey, but it was a good experience. I would definitely do it again, and it was fun, and I would definitely do it, you know, maybe every couple, two, 3 months. So at any rate, life is good. Live fully. Have a laugh. Enjoy yourself. On today's show, we've got a gentleman named Chase Jackson, and we're going to dive into the dynamic world of high performance with Jake. He's a renowned CEO and performance coach who's devoted his life to mastering and teaching the world's best high performance methods. Over the past 15 years, Chase has invested over $300,000 of his own money into understanding what drives peak physical and mental performance, successfully aiding over 65,000 athletes and high performers in enhancing their health, their mindset, and overall capabilities. In this episode, Chase shares his personal journey of relentless pursuit of growth and excellence. He'll discuss the strategies that have proven most effective in pushing the limits of human performance and how he applies those techniques to help others achieve their full potential. So whether you're an athlete looking to optimize your performance, a professional striving for excellence in your business field, or simply someone interested in personal development, Chase's insights are going to be invaluable. With a nice big Marshall Silver Live welcome in the chat, please say hello to our guest, Chase Jackson. Welcome, Chase.
Hey, Marshall, how are you? I'm very offended by your intro.
Say that again?
I said I'm very offended by your intro.
Yeah, which part?
I'm just kidding. I was listening to you before you came on. Thank you. That was a very
Yeah, you see, even I forgot to joke. Even I forgot. Hey, thank you. And I like the tone already. You're a good man, and I'm glad to have you here. Yeah, so where are you? I always ask first question, where are you calling in from?
Miami, Florida.
Awesome. I love Florida. I absolutely love it. And, you know, the tax circumstances are great. I think your governor's been doing a great job. I love the ocean. I love the water there. I love everything about it, except I don't like hurricanes at all. I'm offended by them. And I don't like bugs. And then finally, I just have a challenge with too much humidity. But I'll tell you, if I couldn't live in San Diego and Vegas, I'd probably end up in Miami. So awesome. So tell me about yourself. How long have you been doing your peak performance coaching and what you do?
Sure. So I've been doing about 15 years. Latest iteration has been about 2 years where we've made more of a shift to working with entrepreneurs and executives and high performers and kind of way away from athletes.
And so how did this all come about? Were you in a different field and you said, gosh, this is a, you know, something people really need? Or is it something you said, I really need this? Where do I get this? How'd it come about?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been in the high performance space for pretty much my entire adult life, 15 years. And how it came about is really me going out and seeking mentors and finding, just being very, very, very blessed to find these amazing teachers who really helped me understand really what it takes to be at these were people who embraced me when I was a young guy in terms of, and let me kind of peek behind the curtain when they were working with the best athletes in the world. So I've been kind of in that space for about 15 years, kind of half working as coach and then half working as kind of entrepreneur CEO, basing coaching businesses and product businesses in the high performance space based off that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So tell me, how does your program work? Do you coach people remotely? Do you coach them in person? Do you teach courses? Do you sell digital programs? How does that work?
Sure. Yeah, we coach people all over the world. And we have a really simple three-step formula that's kind of, people are really busy. And you go online and there's a million different perspectives on health and fitness and performance. So we wanted to use our team has at this point over a century of expertise. I'm like, how can we make this as simple as possible? And what we kind of concluded was a three-step formula. So what that is one, we collect data. So we live in like a really special time right now in human history, where with the internet, with sports science, with AI, with blood testing, with gene testing, with DNA testing, like we can get a really good understanding. You can get a really good understanding. The audience can get a really good understanding of what's going on under the hood, is a great analogy to look at it, in their body like never before at a really low cost. So that's kind of step one in our formula, because once we figure that out, then we can know what we need to optimize without wasting any effort on doing other stuff. Step two is we really help you dial in what we call the fundamentals. We believe greatness is consistency on the fundamentals. So like a couple great examples of this from the sports world is Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan practicing bounce passes up until the final game of his career. Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes practicing the simplest three-step drop before every game. And we all have like a specific set of fundamentals. You do as a hypnotist and I do as a coach. But we, as human beings, we also all have a set of universal fundamentals. And that's our training, our movement, our nutrition, our sleep, our mindset, which I love hearing you talk about initially, just the fact that we have 1,500 thoughts going through our head every minute. I'm a huge believer in affirmations and declarations and empowering ourselves by taking control of those thoughts, and our breath and our focus. So that's step two. And then step three is we provide world-class coaching. I mean, as you know yourself, being a world-class in what you do, there's levels to everything. And I'm really blessed to lead a team of amazing coaches that really help our clients specifically with what they need to help them optimize their performance and longevity.
What kind of strategies are you using to help people reach the level of excellence that you help them get to? Give me, I don't know, two or three just instant tidbits the audience can consume.
Instant tidbits. Okay. So I believe great life, great day, or great life, it really starts with a great day and like multiplying those great days. So you want to get your days right. And there's a ton of different things that you can do to get more energy, to get your body feeling right, to have yourself looking and feeling and performing at your best. But they can be unique to different people. So like a couple specific things are, we're big believers in waking up and doing some kind of meditation, prayer, or breath work before checking your phone. What that does is that's going to help reduce your overall cortisol levels for the day. And it's also going to help with your focus. And then another really simple thing people can do to optimize their sleep, we're big believers that a great day starts the night before, is to take a warm shower before bed, because what that does is it lowers your body's body temperature, which helps get ready for REM sleep and deep sleep. So those are a couple super simple tactics that we found work for almost everybody.
Where were your breakthroughs? You know, most of us, myself included, we had what I call the miraculous transition. And the miraculous transition occurs when all of a sudden we have this epiphany, this aha, and everything changes. For me, it was learning about hypnosis. It was recognizing that we are who we think we are and we get to choose. Did you have any kind of an epiphany where you said, you know what, my personal physical health is the most valuable asset I possess? There's nothing more important. If I don't have my health, I don't have anything. Did you go through a sickness or some trauma, or was it just hanging out with athletes made you say, yep, this is who I'm going to be?
You know, I'm a huge believer in growth and in self-development. So like, and health and the body, of course, I believe are a huge part of that. But the big breakthrough for me was I got in a lot of trouble growing up, and it was always, I was always kind of externally blaming things, my circumstance, whether that was from trauma or childhood or all this and that. And I was always blaming other people. And then when I was like 22, 23, I first learned about the psychologist Abraham Maslow. And he has this idea, he had this idea of plus one, minus one, where every moment.
Sounds like a blackjack card counter.
Well, Maslow is known for his theory of his pyramid of human needs. But what really resonated with me is he has this concept of like plus one, minus one, where every moment we can either step forward into growth, which is like stepping forward into the better version of ourselves, or step back into safety, which is the worst version of ourselves. And our subconscious or spirit, whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day is keeping score. And at the end of the day, how you feel is in large part determined by that. And that really, really, really resonated with me. And I would say that was probably the biggest thing that kind of set me on my journey. And then it kind of really started to accelerate when I had my two boys as well.
How old are your boys?
15 and 12.
I have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old daughter.
Okay. So same range, same age.
Yeah,
range.
You know, we teach something similar. We call it the ultimate scorecard. And in our lives, we are always either getting more or getting less. There's no gray area. And so, you know, when somebody shows up, if they're supposed to meet you at a specific time, if they show up 1 minute late, they're late. They're not on time. They're late. If they, in fact, in my book, if you don't show up at least a couple minutes early, you're late. You're either in any given moment losing weight, as we are right now, because we're not consuming any calories, or you're gaining weight if you're consuming calories. You're always getting closer in a relationship or further away. You're always either getting better or you're getting worse. And so I would agree that, you know, one of the biggest challenges, I think, is that people don't always pause and say you get 75 years on average. You get, you know, you get a limited amount of summers. You get a limited amount of springtimes and winters and falls. You get a limited amount of kisses. You don't know when the last, you know, hug or handshake or embrace you're going to have with another person. So always embrace them as if you're never going to see them again. You know, and how old are you?
39.
So, you know, having kids, I don't know about you, but having children, the entire clock sped up for me. You know, without kids, it was like, hey, I got plenty of time. And then when the kids came along, I went, holy crap, you need to get busy, dude. You've been massively self. You need to get busy. And now everything is just completely different. What's valuable to you? What are your boys' names?
KJ and Maceo.
Awesome. Maesia. That's an unusual name. What's the meaning?
You know, I came up with, so KJ's for Kingston. I came up with that one. My ex-wife's sister came up with Maesia. Maesia has a specific meaning. I want to say it means blessing or something like that.
So you and the kid are really close, I take it.
Yes, I'm very close to my boys.
I'm teasing you.
Yeah.
You need to go out and find out what that name means. You got to Google it right after the show. You got to do it.
What the fuck, man? You talking about my parenting skills? What's going on here?
Exactly. So again, you know, that's the thing with even with our kids' names, that name is a mental trigger to us, you know, because it's our kid for sure. But there's also, you know, all sorts of things contained in that being. And so one of the things that I believe is that we've got to be sure in our life that we're creating really positive triggers. My wife and I, one of the things that I love the most about our relationship, and this is my third wife. It took me two other marriages to find my one true wife. And I always encourage anybody, if you're single and you've gone through a broken relationship, the better one is there as long as you're looking for the better one. At any rate, one of the things I love about her, we can joke. Mm. We can play. I can tease. She can tease me back. There's never a question of how much, you know, are you loved or did you really mean that? There, we don't use sarcasm, but we joke a lot. And it's healthy. It's so good for a relationship. Teaching my kids the same thing. Water on a duck's back. Do not take anything personally. I teach a skill set. When somebody insults me, the first thing I do is I turn to them and I say, forgive me, could you repeat what you just said? I want them to be on notice that I heard exactly what was said, and I want anybody that might be within earshot to also hear what they said, but I want them to hear what they said. So, you know, maybe they'll say, well, you're a freaking idiot. Forgive me, could you repeat that? I said, you're a freaking idiot. That's what I thought you said. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I didn't know we were that close to be able to express ourselves so intimately, but were you saying that because you hoped it might offend me or hurt my feelings? Well, now they just look like an idiot. Why? Because you're saying I'm not affected. I'm just wondering, you know, why would you say something like that? Doesn't make any sense to me, no matter how you feel. And so what happens is that which we experience fully vanishes.
Yeah, when and when it comes to high performance and peak performance, like we all only have a certain amount of time in the day. We only have a certain amount of energy in the day. So how much time are you wasting thinking about whether or not that person meant what they said or what that person's thinking about you? It's just, it's high performers, peak performers. They're resilient and they're focused on what they want. They're not worried about that. And that's a skill that needs to be taught. I agree 100%.
Yeah. And I think that whole idea, cause you just said it, that, you know, sometimes people think about working out and the amount of energy they spend thinking about working out, if they just went and worked out, they'd actually get a benefit.
Yeah.
Because the amount of energy and the amount of excuses and the amount of reasons non-performers come up with for not performing is just, it's astounding to me. What do you do? What do you do to push somebody over the edge? Do you turn up the pain or do you offer the pleasure?
Well, I think it depends for sure. So I think some people respond to pain and the stick, and other people respond better to carrot, to pleasure. Overall, just in terms of who I am as a teacher and as a coach, I resonate more with the positive framework. So I'm going to initially go towards that. But so much of what we do is about specifics and what really works for that specific individual. So, you know, if they need the stick, then we give them the stick.
Is the majority of your coaching mental, or is there a portion or a component, or is it the majority of what you coach teaching people how to be more physically fit, so on a physical level?
That's a great question. So I would say mental, because the mental leads to the physical. Like you said, a lot of people don't go to the gym. They want to go to the gym. It is because of whatever is holding them back, whatever resistance, whatever procrastination. And I'm a huge believer in mental training and focusing on process and focusing on affirmations and declarations. All those things have just all been huge components of my journey and my life, that we really make that a huge part of what we teach here. Then let that lead into the physical.
Go about getting clients and what is it that you sell?
I'm sorry, you cut out for the second, Marshall. Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, what I said was, tell me about your business model. Tell me how you go about getting clients and what is it that you sell?
Sure. Yeah, so we're really blessed at this point to have get clients a lot of word of mouth. And then we also do some paid advertising. And then we do a lot of organic stuff through content. And what we sell is we sell a high-end coaching service that really helps high performers optimize their performance and their longevity.
And so how does that show up? Do they buy audio training, Zoom training, in-person training, or what do they do?
It is, so we go live a lot. It's, again, we have clients all over the world, so it's not necessarily in person, but we go live a lot. They get one-on-one coaching. We do group coaching, and it's very interactive. We have an app, and we do have courses within the coaching program as well on the six fundamentals that I mentioned earlier.
Sure. Do you think that what do you think makes you guys distinct in a field that's got a lot of, you know, other people selling coaching or training or health or those kinds of products? What's your unique approach or your unique marketing proposition?
I think number one is the level of expertise. I think I have no knock on all of the fitness influencers out there who, I mean, now you can be a 21-year-old kid and make 5-6 figures a month selling health and fitness programs. And I 100% am behind that. I think that's amazing, but there's levels to anything. So I think number one is just the level of expertise and coaching that we provide. It's not just me, it's a team of world-class coaches that I lead. And these are people who have coached the best of the best for a very long time. And then also we have a combination of that along with focusing on, like I said earlier, the fundamentals with the data collection, which that kind of three-step process is unique that you're not going to find anywhere else, whether that's, you know, with a doctor looking at the data or whether it's with a fitness trainer just doing the coaching, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little more about, because I'm a parent and your kids are a little bit older than mine. You know, they don't come with a manual, of course, and all we can do is our very best to do our very best. Tell me some of the strategies you use as a parent to get your kids on the same track, to make sure that they're health conscious, that they're looking for a better life, or are they just the opposite as sometimes happen? Do they, you know, completely resist anything dad says?
No, they're all in. Well, I'm very blessed. So I think part of the reason that they're all in is I've spent an extraordinary amount of time with them. So I think, I mean, most parents would agree that at the end of the day, kids spell love, T-I-M-E, in terms of time. So they're all in. A couple things that we've done is we have spent an extraordinary amount of time training together. In my experience, I don't have any experience with girls, but just at least with boys, they have a ton of energy, and that energy needs to get channeled, or it's going to go wherever it's going to go. You're playing roulette. So I've done over 1 million medicine ball throws with each one of my two boys. So that's something that we've done together. So many days they'll just be too tired to want to do anything else. And then also something that I'm a huge believer in this, of course, this is kind of how it's been throughout human history, but it's not as much now, but I teach my kids what I know. So I know health, I know performance, and I know business. So I spent an extraordinary amount of time teaching them those things. So I'm not relying on the school system and whatever the school system is teaching them. But parenting advice I would give is to really teach your kid, take the responsibility and the ownership to teach your kids specific skills that they can use. And it's going to help them launch much quicker than if you're going to rely on the school system. Would be a couple tips I would have.
And so you're homeschooling, or are they going to public school?
You know, we have homeschooled. They're with my ex-wife this year, so they're going to public school. But yeah, I had them homeschool last year. And I would recommend that over the public school system just because of
with the wokeism.
High performance, I'm looking at peak performance. You go to a school, the teachers there are overworked, and they're going to the lowest common denominator, right? It's not a big
100%. Absolutely, yeah, they have to, and that is the challenge, you know. And especially if you've got kids that are bright and sharp and smart, they get held back. They put me, when I was in first grade, they put me in special education courses and with the learning disabled kids. And because we had no phone, they gave me a message in first grade at 6 years old to take home to my mother. I'm not taking that message home to my mother. You know, your son is different. We can't teach him. We've moved him into another class. So I didn't even give the message to my mom. And I went home each day after school as if nothing had happened. And at one night, my mother said, "What is wrong with you, Marshall?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You're slurring your words. You okay?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Has anything changed?" And I said, "They put me in a new class a month ago." And she said, what class? And I explained to her what was going on. Well, the class was with learning disabled kids. And some of the kids, they were in wheelchairs or they couldn't speak and they had no motor skills. And I was taking on their characteristics because I thought that behavior was the behavior they wanted me to have. I thought that that was how I was supposed to perform to be able to be accepted by the authority figures of the school. When my mom found out, she storms the school. "What the hell are you doing? He doesn't belong there. Your challenge is you're boring him. He's too smart," which was the case. The teacher would teach something, I'd get it right away, and then I'd go wander off and do something or break up the class, you know, tell jokes and stuff. And so I think a lot of the kids these days that are getting put on antidepressant drugs, you know, that they're ADD or ADHD, hell, I was the whole alphabet.
Sure.
Except the drugs didn't exist. And so you just said something that every parent needs to hear. I keep my boys' energy channeled. I make sure that the energy isn't suppressed, which is a bigger crime than anything else. But just to make sure that it's channeled and that they've got good outlets for that. What about creative stuff? Your boys, are they into music? They into sports? Or what do they like?
Sure. Yeah. So they're currently all in on basketball. From like athlete performance perspective, audience, I highly recommend, or I mean, actually, it doesn't even have to be specifically with sports, but I'm a huge believer in having your kids try as many different things as possible. And then once they, you see like where they really light up, to go all in on that. So we've gone, they're at the age now where we've gone all in on basketball. And then in terms of creatively, the younger guy loves to draw, the older guy loves music. So we do that as well. And they're just in the past year and a half, we've gone all in on the basketball journey.
So you got a lot of books behind you. I'm guessing a lot of personal development stuff.
Yeah.
So tell me which ones are your favorite.
Well, Psycho makes me think of you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The psycho part or the cybernetics part?
The psycho part for sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
No.
Hold it. Did you say psycho?
Yes.
Did you say that to try to hurt my feelings?
I said, no, so he was, I don't know if you're familiar, but he was a plastic surgeon who realized that half of his patients after plastic surgery, like their life changed. They felt great. The other half, there was no difference or they felt worse. So what he concluded was that it was a self-image thing that really determines kind of how we see ourselves and how we present ourselves to the world. And so the book's how we can upgrade our self-image through our subconscious. And then in terms of like, there's so many good books, you know, I don't know if I have any specific favorites, but that one made me think of you.
I'm glad. You know, there was a magic show in this little town in Massachusetts near Boston. And the illusion show ran for, gosh, I don't know. It ran for like 30 years, ran for a long time. And what it was there was a psychologist. His name, gosh, what was it? Cesaro Palaez, something like that. But he had 40 patients. And he's in this little teeny tiny town in Massachusetts, and he gets tired of seeing his patients. But his patients just, he's not having any healing. So one day he brings them all together, and he tells them, I can't see you anymore. I'm harming you at this point. So I am shutting down my psychiatry practice, you know, and everybody's all bummed out and depressed. He says, but what we're going to do is I bought a theater. The theater needs to be refinished, and then we're going to put an illusion show in it. So I've got a question. Does anybody here have any construction skills? And some people said, yeah, I can build sets and magical illusions. He says, does anybody have any sewing skills? Well, you can make the costumes and the drapes. And he said, is there anybody that feels they've got no talent whatsoever? And, you know, when the people raise their hand, he said, you'll be our performers. And he launches this illusion show that only performs on the weekends in this Le Grand David Theater in this little teeny place. It ran for 35 years. And what he discovered was when all of his patients who paid him for years to, you know, see him for an hour a week to talk about their problems, to get over their challenges, when they had a purpose, when they had something that was bigger than their challenges, when they didn't have time to be depressed, they weren't. 100%. And I tell people, get out of your head, get into other people's lives. When you get to a place where your life is a life of service, you won't have time to be depressed. You won't have time to, you know, have all these other disorders, because you'll be so focused on a positive, powerful outcome, you'll be good. There was a time when I was getting attacked massively on many, many satanic levels by the government, by a soon-to-be ex-wife, by a bad girlfriend, by bad employees, everything coming down at once. And I just kept reminding myself that it's one fire at a time, and that all you got to do is deal with one little challenge at a time, and you will get through this. And I think that a lot of people, you know, they think about working out and looking as fit as you look, and they think, you know, my God, I could never get there. And the answer is, yes, with that mindset, you're correct. You cannot. But you got to do something. You got to move. You got to move that over to the positive, you know, the plus one side of the graph, because right now doing nothing is another negative one. What do you think about that?
I think, one, you're going to feel great. No one ever regrets after a workout. They feel great. And then I love that story. And then I look from a, like, what the body's doing when you go out and help people, it's pretty amazing. So when we provide a service to somebody or we help somebody, dopamine and serotonin are released from our body. Dopamine and serotonin is released from the person that we're helping or serving. And if someone watches us help or help us, or watches us helping or serving somebody, dopamine and serotonin is released from them. So, like, literally, you are making yourself feel better. If there's one thing I can get across to people, is that our physiology drives our psychology in many ways, except when our psychology drives our physiology. But we can make ourselves feel really good. And so I absolutely love that story. Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Well, again, and it comes down to Napoleon Hill devotes an entire chapter in Think and Grow Rich to the idea of definition of purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've got a program we do called Turning Point. It's a 2.5-day program I've been doing for 43 years. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Turning Point is that it's all about helping people understand you choose your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You choose your meanings. And so, you know, my wife, when we met, she said, do you think you'd ever want to get married again? She knew I'd been married twice before. And I told her, absolutely not. Never want to do that again. I'm not the marrying type. And then we discover that I am the marrying type. I just never met my one true wife. And now 17 years later, you know, been married for 10 of those 17 years, I am the marrying type. I just hadn't found the type that I would be good in a marriage with. And I think that's the same thing for people. I often wonder, how would people's lives be if they were 100% authentic? If you did exactly what you wanted to do in any given moment, you didn't do what you thought you needed to, you didn't do what you know, other people were pressuring you to do. I don't like working out anymore. I just don't. But what I love doing is being with my wife. What I love doing is playing racquetball or tennis. Love it. It's not working out to me. It's just, you know, living my life. And I think about that with money. What if people could figure out the thing, you know, you look at a Tiger Woods who must love to golf. You look at, you know, artists that paint, they love their art and then they're famous. And I think that's the biggest question we have to ask ourselves these days. And forgive me for monopolizing your interview, but I think we got to ask ourselves, who was I on the day that I was born? Who am I now? Who was I and how am I living my day today to demonstrate that's who I am? You said you're 39, you're living your life. You are obviously, you got a great coaching business, peak performance coaching business. Where are you in 10 years? Your mic is muted. I can't hear you. I think your mic is muted. Uh-oh. Let's see. How about now? Oh, we lost you. Yep, we can see you. You look great, that's for sure. And apparently you can hear me, but I cannot hear you. Man, we're zooming now. It's a Zoom. Let me see. Are you there? Nah, shoot. Well, look like we're having some technical difficulties in the studio. I apologize for that. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that is. I'm going to get Chase back again. I am. I love the interview. Not quite sure what's going on. I will get Chase back for another interview coming up soon. Hey, if you've enjoyed the show, let's put up on the screen, and if we're not able to hear Chase, Sterling, let's put up on the screen how we can get a hold of Chase. What is his Instagram handle? Chase Jackson Peak Performance. And did we have any other contact? Did we have a Facebook link or anything else, Sterling? Good job on the fireworks. I like it. Well, you know, we are live and in a live show. Yep, stuff happens, and apparently it just happened. Chase, thank you for being on the show. You're a great guest and clearly a great human being. I love the fact that you love your kids. That's always a lot of points for me. You take care, and we'll see you again soon. I'm Marshall Silver. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Marshall Silver Live in a live performance. Yeah, this stuff comes up just like in a life, and all you can do is deal with what emerges because there's really nothing else you can do. Until we chat again, have an absolutely awesome weekend. We'll see you on Monday on Marshall Silver Live.